Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We're going to be looking at Psalm 23. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Would you bless it tonight as we share it together? Father, you know each of our hearts. You know what we brought from the day, the week. You know the concerns of our heart. You know the desires of our heart. You know those things that are deep down that are unsettling at times. Would you speak to us by your Holy Spirit tonight? Would you impart your spirit of wisdom to us tonight in the revelation of the knowledge of you? Would you enlighten the eyes of our understanding so that as we read and share, we would have open hearts to receive that which you would have us to receive, and then in turn, give us the grace and the strength to be obedient to what you teach us. And we'll give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 23, I'm going to read through it first and then we'll begin commenting. Psalm 23, and I'm reading from the King James Version, as Josh McDowell used to call it, the King Jimmy. But anyway, Psalm 23, it's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We know it's a well-known psalm. This is one psalm you'll hear many times at funerals. You'll hear it in different settings. The thing about this psalm is interesting. It's very familiar to non-believer and believer alike. I always like to think of it this way, though. It means something totally different to the believer than it does the non-believer. Amen? You see? Oh, it's a beautiful psalm, you see, even to the one who doesn't know Jesus. But to those of us who have come to know Him as our Savior, He's our shepherd. And so He's more than just a shepherd. He's our shepherd. But before we look at Psalm 23 a little bit, I want to consider the psalm before and after 23, Psalm 22 and 24. Just a little bit, not much. But in these three psalms, we have kind of like a trilogy here. These three psalms are called the Shepherd Psalms, and it's a picture of our Lord. In Psalm 22, He's the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Amen? The Good Shepherd. And you really see that in Psalm 22. In Psalm 23, He's the Great Shepherd. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that Great Shepherd, amen, of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In Psalm 24, He's the chief shepherd. And He's coming again. 1 Peter 5, 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen. So He is the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and Chief Shepherd. So in these three psalms, we see the past, present, and future. In Psalm 22, we see the cross and salvation. In Psalm 23, we see Him manifest and our satisfier. In Psalm 24, we see Him coming again. And so as we look, for example, in Psalm 22, how does He begin the psalm? My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me? What did He say on the cross? My God, why dost Thou forsake me? And really, He was taking all of our sins upon those shoulders. Heavy duty, huh? And then you see the description of death on a cross. Now over in Psalm 24, He begins in verse 1 there. He says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods," and so on and so forth. Who shall ascend? But we're going to focus on Psalm 23 today. But I wanted to kind of dip into those two a little bit, and you see that picture. And so as we see, when we look at the psalm, right to begin with, we see that the author is David. And it's thought that David probably was an older fella, maybe an old man when he wrote this psalm. David was an interesting man, kind of complex in a way. He was a shepherd. That's what he's doing when Samuel comes looking, you know, when they want to, when Saul is, you know, king and all, and it's been really taken away from him, the anointing. And you remember Samuel's over there calling out all of Jesse's boys. And finally, "Don't you have another one?" "Well, there's David out there keeping the flock. We'll bring him in." You see, God was using that to prepare him to be what he was going to be, wasn't he? Watching those sheep, you see, that kid. He was a shepherd, a military man, and he was a king. I might add, he was a musician too. He was a man of victories, and he had some defeats, and he was a man of that was taken in adultery. He'd been through a lot of things. He had gone through a lot there, you know, with Saul, chasing him all the time. But when it was all said and done, he knew the Lord as his shepherd. You see, all those things he went through, yes, he sinned. Yes, he had victories. But God knew his heart. He had a heart after God. That's the difference. Apple of God's eye. God knew his heart. So I'm sure that by the time he wrote this psalm, he probably did a little reflecting, looking back. And I'm seeing that as I get older, I kind of look back some too at times, you know? And there's things I look back on, I think, man, why did I act that way? Or, thank God we made it through that one, and wow, didn't the Lord bless here? And we're going to do a little reflecting. As long as we don't dwell on it so much that it keeps us from being effective and continue on walking with Him. Amen? Yes. And so, as he looked back and reflects on his successes and failures, I'm sure he was thankful again that the Lord was shepherd to him. To me, contentment stands out here. And so in this psalm, we see in the first half of the psalm, basically God's presence here. And in the second half, God's provision. But in another sense, we also see God, and we'll do a little three-way thing here, as we've divided it in half, and now we're going to put it in thirds here a second. We also see God as our shepherd, our guide, and our host. So the first verse speaks of relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. It speaks of contentment because the Lord is my shepherd. Notice, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so he's more than just a shepherd. He's my shepherd. He was David's shepherd. And if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior tonight, he's your shepherd. And if you don't know him as your Savior tonight, as you listen to a share tonight, I want you to know you can know him because he loves you. As a result of that, we can have contentment. Each of us have our times of going through struggles and discontentment and things we feel like. But in the final analysis, there is a contentment in Jesus Christ. And so if you don't know him, again, as I say, as your shepherd, that's how you really experience true contentment. Our every need is met by Christ. Every need. This psalm, speaking of sheep and shepherd, is very common throughout the Old Testament. It was very common to the culture, you know, for sheep and shepherds. And you think of Moses, and I think of Moses right off the bat. He's raised there in Pharaoh's house and all, and he had all everything. And of course, it was all in the plan of God, being found by the Pharaoh's daughter and all, and so on and so forth. But where does he end up when God calls him out and prepares him to lead that bunch of folks out of Egypt? First thing, one of the things you read about as you read him on his little trip away from running from Egypt, he ends up over there where he's going to be taking care of sheep. Because we and sheep have a lot in common. Attention span is one of them. That's what they say. Some of the commentators I listened to, McGee, he made comment. He said, a friend of his said, "Dr. McGee, I heard you keep talking about these sheep. So what do? I go and buy some sheep." He said, "I'm telling you what, they are stubborn. They're not even that clean a lot of time. And if one goes one way, they all go one way. If one falls off the cliff, the others are liable to fall him right over." You see? And really, think of humanity. That attention span thing and all, you know? And I guess they're stubborn too, and can be, and want to go their way. Why did he have to have his staff and rod? You know what I mean? He had to pull them out of trouble. A shepherd, though, he loved and cared for his sheep. They had to have a heart for it. Jesus loves and cares for us like no one else could. And another thing I thought about is I thought about this trilogy of Psalms. In Psalm 23, you know, he's already died on the cross. Psalm 23, he's our satisfier and all. And you know, when he went, before he left, he said, "I'll not leave you comfortless. When I go away, I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll send the Holy Spirit." So we have the work of the Holy Spirit going on in lives today because Jesus died on that cross. He rose from the dead and he did just as he said. "I will not leave you comfortless." So through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's working in the hearts of men and women today. And he meets our every need. He knows what we need, and he knows those things we don't need. He takes care of us. Jesus loves us and cares for us like no one else could. In fact, he laid down his life for us. He's our sufficiency. And so in light of him taking care of us and loving us and meeting our every need, that's what the shepherd did. Think about David as a shepherd. You'd hear about him killing the animals that would be coming after the sheep, using his rod to defend them, the staff to draw them out of trouble, take the hook and pull them away from something. The sheep are a little short-sighted sometimes. And I don't mean just blind, or that kind of thing, but short-sighted. And only see what they want to see right then and there. They might have in mind a certain blade of grass. Who knows? I don't know. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." That refers to being full and satisfied. They say that a sheep that is not full doesn't want to lay down till he is. till he's full and satisfied. And even then, the shepherd, you know, he has to lead and guide. He has to direct them. That's what the Lord does for us. He directs us. And of course, we see that through his word. He leads me beside the still waters. And that puts us in mind of being safe in the Lord. Amen? You see, a sheep does not like troubled waters, I don't think. You know, they don't want to be dealing with those troubled waters. And I was listening to Elizabeth Elliot, and she was talking about this folks she knew, and of course, this fella used a sheepdog. And they did know how to move them around. They'd get the right place and get them going this way and that way, you know. But the sheepdog did as he was trained. And the sheep, they didn't know where they were going. They just went where they were led, you know what I mean? Led. But those troubled waters are a problem for sheep, you know, and they want to be drinking from untroubled waters. Jesus is there to comfort our heart in the troubled waters when they come on us. My question would be, are you experiencing the fullness of God in your life? What's up for you today? What's been up for you? He said, his sheep hear my voice. When I was a little guy, I ended up going away to school, the School for the Blind up in Kansas City, Kansas, and my folks lived in Ark City. And I always remember, it was kind of tough, but I was up there probably, I bet I was up there near a month, and I'll never forget it. it makes me kind of almost get a little emotional because it was hard on a little, it was hard for me to be away from home, you know, and get used to that kind of thing. But I always remember standing in the dormitory. We had a little table along the wall there, and there was a window over here. And this other little fella, he was drumming on the table, you know, like he's playing the drums, and I'm probably drumming with him, and all of a sudden, I heard this voice. Robbie. You know whose it was? It was my dad's. But see, I recognized, and I had heard that voice for a while. But see, because I knew him, I recognize his voice. His sheep know his voice. The shepherd's sheep knew the shepherd's voice. And we know his voice. And we can, when we're spending that quality time in the Word and we're praying, we hear that still small voice, don't we? It's what we do with that still small voice is what's important. How do we respond to that still small voice? So are you listening to his voice today? Are you trying to find satisfaction elsewhere? In Psalm 37, we learn that if we will delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. The key is delighting in him. Then our desires become his desires. I remember years ago Chuck sharing that, and I never forgot it. Delight yourself in the Lord. We also see as we continue on in the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And I think as I, you know, he restoreth my soul, to me, that indicates that there's times we need restoration, isn't there? As long as we're living on this earth, there's times we might need restoration. I know I've had to have it. I can remember some times when I went through some pretty strong depression. I pressed things down, didn't deal with them somehow. And it was God that brought me through. I remember reading the Psalms. I'd gone through a lot of this, and we got up to Kansas City. I started a new job. I tell you, I got up in the morning, and I would sit down with my Bible. I just read it by faith. And I'd start reading those Psalms, and when he said, you know, blessed is the man who walks not, whatever I said, Lord, help me not walk in the counsel of God. I just started praying. You know, he'll bring you out. It's his word. It's powerful. So when I see this here, he restores my soul. I know there's a chance each one of us have gone through times of needing our soul restored. I think about David. As I see this, he restores my soul. We know that restoration has to take place, and we know that David had some restoration he had to go through, didn't he? Don't you know when David penned these words, he probably reflected on how God had restored him? Look over in Psalm 51, and there's other places in terms of how he restored him. His eyes, you remember when his eyes were open to his sin? Nathan the prophet, and you remember he tried to cover it for so long. And the ways he tried to cover it. Uriah, he had murdered. He kept trying to cover it. And you know, the problem with sin is it begins to blind us if we allow it to take much residence there. If we don't confess it, you know, agree. And so David was trying to cover and cover. And don't you know he was miserable inside? But oh, when his eyes were open, when Nathan gave that little word. Aren't there a lot of word pictures in the Word of God that bring out a point? And so Nathan's talking to him about the, you know, the guy that had all the sheep and all. And this guy over here, he had one ewe lamb, and the guy takes that. And oh, David gets, you know how emotional. He's kind of an emotional fella. And he could wear his feelings on his sleeve. Well, that man should be the, you know. Nathan said, you're that man. And when he was brought to that point of seeing himself in that, he didn't blame anybody. He was accountable to God. He knew he had sinned against God. You remember Joseph over in Genesis 39? When Potiphar's wife kept, you know, pushing on him and giving him hassle, wanting to have a relationship with him. And what did he say? I can't sin against God. That's what helps us if we're accountable to God. That's what he did. He was accountable to God, wasn't he? And so when his eyes were open to his sin, he didn't blame someone else. He confessed his sin and realized that he had sinned against God. And in the final analysis, he was concerned about sinning against his God. I'm just telling you the way, just what we've got here. But he experienced the peace of God, amen? When he came forth and let his heart be real, oh, God did a work in his heart. And when we do the same thing, oh, I think of those times when I don't trust the Lord, when I let something else get in the way, and then I feel defeated. Because I put myself too much in the way, thinking about how it's going to affect me and how, you know, so many things. Oh, my. But, oh, God is so faithful. And wasn't he faithful with David? And it necessarily didn't happen instantly, you see. God knew what he had to go through. He knows what he's bringing each of us through at different times from day to day that will draw you close to him. Now, remember, we deal with the flesh, the world, and Satan. So, you know, the battle's there. But we serve a living God. Now, you may be feeling like you need to be restored today. I don't know. But God can do it. God loves you. Just be real with God. That's the important thing for us to do. Whenever our fellowship is broken with God at any time, and it can be, or hindered because of sin or, you know, those kind of things that cause a separation there. You remember 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, and that word confess there is just agree with God, because he knows it, doesn't he? God knows all. Just confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't think any of you are in that kind of position, but hey, we share God's word. The punctuation following that word soul there, he restores my soul as a colon, which would indicate that which follows might show us how he restores us. You see, he leads us where? In the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us into a rightness, that which is right. This takes place in spending time with God. Amen? You spend time with Him in His Word, prayer, and we just agree with God. Spend that time, and it's in spite of how we feel. Be obedient to His Word. It's not by feeling. Feelings are like a caboose of a train; they just follow along. And feelings, you know, they kind of vary. We have different ones of those, but by grace are we saved through faith. Faith's that channel, isn't it? You know, anytime you're in that kind of a situation, just be real to God. You think, well, that's hard to do. It is. But deep down in each of our hearts, if we're honest, we know where we are. It's what we do. In Psalm 1, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, His Word, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And you've probably heard that word meditate can be illustrated by really spending that time and put in mind a cow getting up in the morning and getting out there in the field and just eating that grass to beat the band. And just chewing and getting after that, and getting in that stomach. And then in the heat of the afternoon, the sun shining, they just want to get out and lay down and let that sun bake them and burp it up and start chewing on it. Meditate on it, you see. And so that's a good illustration of, you know, meditate on His Word day and night. I'm telling you, that's our spiritual food. That's the sustenance. And the result is, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And we'll go back to Psalm 23. So we see, of course, in those first three verses, what the righteous man is not to do, and then we see what he is to do. Delight. From the time we are born, we walk really through the valley of the shadow of death, when you think about it. And we, of course, don't know. We none of us know that day when the Lord is going to take us home. But there are those shadows and valleys and all, that valley of the shadow of death. There are times in life where maybe that's more evident than other times. Being close to, you know, feeling the shadow of death is more real to you at times. I know for me, years ago, when I learned that I had this tumor, and they were 99% sure it was cancerous, and we learned it was, it certainly made me see, at that time, life, it just upsets the status quo. And you really get that sense of the frailty of life. The valley of the shadow of death. And so different ones of us have different things that have gone on in our lives that make us think of that. Maybe you had a near car accident or something, and you go, whoa. It upsets the status quo. You realize the frailty of life. We are dust. We're made of dust. The same elements the earth is. We just happen to have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And so, thank God we're in His hands. And we're going to be here on top of this earth as long as He has in mind for us and as long as it's His will. We are His workmanship, His work of art, His poema, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God didn't create misfits. Now, we felt like misfits before we come to Christ. And sometimes we may feel like them now at times, but our position in Christ tells us different. Amen? Amen? Our citizenship is not in this world. We just happen to be walking along in it, living in it until He takes us home, hopefully being His witnesses. So for there to be a shadow, there has to be light, right? Jesus is the light. That's a comfort to know. as we're walking along in this world and as we face the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. It says, he says on further, I will fear no evil. He doesn't say there is no evil. I will fear no evil. Why? The only way, because He is with me. Amen? That's the only way, man. And even when we know He's with us, I get a little shaky. Because I suppose I'm not trusting as I should. It would be impossible without Jesus. I just wouldn't want to face it without Him being there. He gives us hope. Which made me think of that verse in Romans 15:13. Now that God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Then we come to thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So He defends us and He disciplines us. Amen? Amen. He defends us and He disciplines us. He is our defense. And so a shepherd would use the rod to defend the sheep. You read about David, he definitely defended the sheep. Didn't he kill a bear or something? You know, those kind of things. Whatever the animal was. And of course, there was always the wolves that wanted the sheep. And the poor dumb sheep could be led away. They could single one out. And see, that's why we need fellowship with one another and our fellowship strong in the Lord and our coming together, forsaking not the assembly of the saints, because we don't want to get, you know, Satan likes to try to trip us up. Pull us out in some temptation or something, you know what I mean? And try to devour us. Oh, we must be careful. The staff had a hook and it was long and he would keep the sheep from danger. Remember, they kind of would go the wrong direction. They'd kind of be stubborn and want to go the way they wanted to go. Can we relate to that? And he'd correct them. Hebrews 12:5, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. Amen. And so we have the Word of God. The Word of God is quick, sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into the body, soul, way into the bones, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that's heavy duty. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, we don't really know our hearts, but as we're spending time in His Word, He begins to speak to us about Him, and we also learn about us. And things about us that we know that He's encouraging us to let Him have. And then as we get into this last section, preparing a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And that speaks of our provision, His provision for us in the midst of our enemies. The main enemy we have, Satan. And then the tools and things he uses to be an enemy against us. But God, in and through this, provides. And there's things that He provides or He allows through His provision what we think we need provided and what He's providing, and to get us in a provision that He has for us allows us to go to various things to get there. Sometimes we want instant. The TV wasn't going that long when some of us started watching it, speaking for myself, and we watched a lot of half-hour shows in our day. And boy, it all happened quick. The different sitcoms or the different shows where somebody had a problem, my golly, in 15 minutes they solved it. You see. And that's not reality. And so there are various things that God, in His wisdom, in providing for us, maybe He's providing a heart that's more drawn to Him. Something He's going to provide for us, but knowing before we're ready for it, there has to be some shaping and molding to be ready. We're this earthen vessels. Lord, help us to be flexible in the hand of the potter. So we need the Holy Spirit. He anoints our head with oil. Our cup overflows with God's blessings. I like that idea. And I guess you could say that as He blesses us and it's overflowing, we can share. Amen? Share with others the blessing. And so as we begin to come to a close here, as a result of the presence of God and His provision and the fact that He is our shepherd, guide, and host, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And the result is, and of course, the final result will be that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever! Amen? In John 14, in those first few verses at the beginning of that psalm, He talks about, in my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Amen? He's the great shepherd. He's our precious Jesus. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your Word tonight. I thank You that You are our shepherd. You care for us, You lead us, You guide us. You give us all we have need of, Lord, and we're thankful for that. And so, Father, we thank You and ask for Your blessing now on each tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He rose again in glory, promising eternal life with Him forever for those who put their trust in Him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need Your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The Scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are His. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.